Continuing in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, since then, because of what Beth just read was true, that no longer is God's promises written on stone tablets, but in our hearts, since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Imagine a wedding. The bride is beautiful. She waits in the narthex for her cue. Pachelbel's canon in D signals it's time. Her father, who's about to usher her down the aisle, leans in. Are you ready, kiddo? She glides down the aisle, step by step, into a new life. But before she gets there, before she breaks the threshold, she stops. And her father takes the veil and lifts it over her head. And now she beams. It's the image, the invitation St. Paul brings to us, to Christ's church. No longer do we walk around with veiled faces, but we beam. The Spirit grabs a hold of us and transforms us from one degree of glory to another. Right away, do you hear the problem with the invitation? Anyone hear the problem? If we are to walk around with unveiled faces, beaming the freedom and the love of Christ, it means the Spirit is at work transforming us as a church. And I don't know about you, but change in the church is not easy. 5 years ago, on this exact day, a new pastor and his family of four at the time, they moseyed through the door. The pastor, He was a bit green. His ministry legs a bit wobbly. He made some rookie mistakes. I must have been absent on the day when they taught that under no circumstances are you to move any of the furniture in the sanctuary without asking. I came in making changes too fast. I said, every month I'm going to move one holy relic. So after a couple months, I said, what would it look like if the baptismal font was in the doorway, causing some of you to think I was more Catholic than Presbyterian? Month number two, move the pulpit from point A that has been here for 55 years to point B. Month three, I wondered what would it look like to take the communion table and bring it up onto the platform. You remember that? After one Sunday, I came in on Monday and magically the table reappeared on the floor. It must not like change either. Looking back, I was just trying to find my way. And it wasn't until Dick Patterson kindly said to me, we've had 5 pastors in the last 7 years. Every single one of them expecting us to adapt to their way of doing things. And then the light bulb went off. I had not considered that you all had had to change the way that you've done things over and over again. And it would be one thing if change were easy, but even when it's spirit-induced, it's hard. At the same time, we also have watched what it looks like when churches aren't willing to go in new directions. Systems get stuck. Ministries become irrelevant. Worship gets dry. Generations go missing. If you have listened to anything going on in the Methodist Church this week, where they strengthened their ban against same-gender couples marrying and ordaining gay clergy, if you saw that and witnessed that, it has been painful. They call it the traditional plan. St. Paul says, as helpful as our traditions are and as comfortable as we need them to be, they can put a veil over the Spirit, concealing God's glory. In response to the Methodist decision, there's this cartoon circling around where a pastor is or a leader is on his knees before the cross, and he's praying, saying, please, Lord, bring more people into your church. And standing behind him are members from the LGBTQ community in rainbow clothing with a sad look on their faces. Because the Spirit is offering an answer to the prayer. If only they could lift the veil to see it. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom, says Paul. How many times have we heard churches say, please, Lord, bring more children? And yet they don't ever include the children in what they do. Or they get really upset when they are children. How many times do we hear, "Please, Lord, bring more diversity"? But the system is unwilling to change. On the one hand, we know change is hard. And on the other, we have seen what happens when churches refuse to be transformed. Yes? But here's the thing. When it comes to people of faith, if we're willing to lift the veil, no one can come face to face with the living God and remain the same. Remember Moses? He goes up on top of the mountain to receive the commandments. And God's glory is so radiant that God has to cover Moses' eyes from seeing him. And all Moses can see is God's back end, which is a Jewish joke. Truly. And as Moses is coming down, his face is shining, and everyone at the base of the mountain, they're all afraid. Why? Because nobody can look upon the face of God and live. It's true. Jacob at the river Jabbok rolls up his sleeves and goes in a dusk till dawn wrestling match with God, and as soon as the sun starts peeping over the horizon, it's not Jacob who wants to leave, but this angel of God. Why does the angel of God want to leave when the sun's coming up? Because no one can look upon the face of God and live. But Jacob is stubborn. He clings to God and says, "You will bless me." And what happens? Jacob dies. You are no longer Jacob. You are Israel. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul. None of us, when the veil is lifted, can look upon the face of God and ever be the same. It's what happened to me. In the last 5 years, I have looked upon your faces and listened to your stories, and there it is radiant with the glory of God. I know over the last 5 years, we've had some bumps personally, health issues, loved ones have died, jobs have been lost, injustice and fear is the new normal. So to our aging generation, I know it seems like the glory days are over and that the glory is faded, but you are still glorious. Amen. I was visiting Jim and Edith a couple months back, and the phone rang, and Jim left the room to answer it. And I asked Edith, I said, "So what do you think about all this Black Lives Matter stuff that the church seems to be headed in that direction. She said, "My generation has seen the most horrific things done to black people. If there's a generation who should be saying it the loudest, it's ours." There was so much glory, it blew me away. To our LGBTQ members, this week was a reminder that the fight is still going on, that veils are still being placed over churches. But you are glorious. Your gifts, your talents, your presence, we would never be the same without you. Come on, some collective affirmation here. Yes. To our warriors of justice, you inspire me. Not only do you work full time and raise children and try to manage this ever busy culture and world, but you still find the energy to show up. It's incredible. Full of glory. And to our children, oh, our children, who will inherit our world and our faith. I think the best decision we have made since I've been here is having you guys be a part of our worship service and leading us. Someone said to me yesterday, "We only have 3 children in our church." And they're the joy. And I thought, oh man. She said, "How many do you have in yours?" And I thought, we have a lot of joy. It's what happened to me, is I came to this church and I look upon your faces and I see the glory of God shining. Whether you see it or not, it's reflected off of you. No one can see the face of God and remain the same. Recently, one of you said, "I think Trinity could be a reflection for what the church could be." I think that's true. And today, we welcome new members who will help us reflect what the church can be. And if the next 5 years are anything like the first 5, then we are in for a wild and glorious ride. Thanks be to God for you. Thanks be to God for us.